we'll wrap it up for this year anyway. So we've been talking about the fact that the worst thing that could happen to us as Christians is if we know how, but we forget why. Because the reason we do things is more important, really, than what we do, even, in a lot of ways. But if it isn't, at least it motivates us to do what we do and to do it well, right? I don't know about you, but like there's some time at this time of year that I'm kind of a solar-powered human being. So when the sun starts setting earlier and coming up later, my battery starts running low, right? So I slow down and I feel a little tired. But you know what? The alarm clock still rings every morning at 6:30. And I'll tell you, at this time of year, getting up at 6:30, some days it's a decision that I have to make. So 6:30 rolls around and I get out of bed. There's a lot of times I'd rather sleep till 10, to be honest with you. And I can. I'm pretty skilled. If I have a day off, I can just keep closing my eyes and going back to sleep, closing my eyes and going back to sleep. And I like rolling out around 10 when I have a day off. It's great. Don't call me on my day off before 10. But if I did that every day, if I forgot why I get out of bed in the morning, then it would be really bad. Because after a while, I wouldn't have anything to get out of bed for. Right? I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have a place to go and work because I would be proven irresponsible and probably a little lazy. And like I would have to, you know, try and figure out how to make it without a paycheck, you know. But it would be, the reason I love going to work is because it's a place where I can go and use my talents, use my abilities, and help people. I love people. You know, I love being around people. I love, you know, helping people. I love connecting with people. So it's like, great, this is my, I was born for this. Apparently, God made me to do this. And I like it because, you know, it brings meaning to my life. It brings joy to my life. It even helps to define who I am a little bit as a person. Last but not least, it really, you know, it brings in money so that I could keep a roof over our heads and food on our table. But if I forget all that when I'm laying in bed in the morning, and I just know how to get out of bed, but I forget why to get out of bed, then a lot of times life won't happen the way it's supposed to happen. And we, a lot of times as Christians, we go through the motions of our Christian walk. And we've talked about a lot of different areas. I loved what we talked about the last couple weeks about spiritual warfare. It's just, you know, getting out there every day and living for God, bringing God's kingdom into the world, right? Because sometimes we forget that it isn't just about making a living. It isn't just about putting a roof over our heads and food on our table. It's not just about he who dies with the most toys wins, or at least a couple of toys. You know, it's not about that. It's not about the house we live in. It's not about the car we drive. It's not even about our children or even about us. It's about God's kingdom. God's called us to expand His kingdom in this world. And if we forget the why, we just start losing track of where we're going and what we're doing. You know, we can do, like I remember when I was younger. Now, I took a stand when I was young about drinking, like a big strong stand about it, because I work with young people. And I know like the Bible teaches about leaders and what it teaches about that, but I used to go out and used to hang around with a bunch of youth leaders and they liked to go to this restaurant in Welland, and we'd get together and we'd sit there. And for a long time, we just ate. But then one day, I'm sitting in there, and they're all having a beer, and they're having some wine, and they're all, you know, like, and you know what? God bless them. Like, I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that said they can't. But I always took a stand because I said, like, if there's one young person that I could save by just drawing a strong line in the sand about this, one young person that I could turn away from that life, one young person, because Christina and I and the boys, we worked in bus ministry for a long time. We saw the wreck of families. We saw the devastation that drinking caused. Well, that day, right, I'm sitting there with these guys, and we're all youth leaders, youth pastors, and our young people frequented that restaurant. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm going, well, look, guys, I love you. I do. Passion. You know, we're friends. But I got to leave. I'm out of here. Well, why? Well, because if one of my young people walks in here and sees me with you guys, and I'm not drinking, and I'm not going to drink, but if they see me here, and you're having a beer, and they look at that, and they're saying, well, Ralph's good with that. That's cool. So now I can. And they don't know when to stop, and they don't have the controls in place, and an adult has it in place. And I walked away from that table, and I made enemies that day. But the why for me was big enough for to carry it through. It was hard for me because these were friends of mine, and I was offending them, and I was putting them out. But I had to make a stand because that's what I believed was important. The why was important. I don't want to see our young people get bound up in those kind of addictions. And I know myself, I'm the kind of person that could easily be addicted to things. So if I start and I have a bad day, I could maybe not stop. So I really made a stand. But we have to understand why we do things. We have to understand the why so we can carry out the how, right? So we've talked a lot over the last while about, you know, why we pray, why we give, why we, you know, all these different things. If I could remember, it'd be great. One thing getting whacked in the back of my head was done for me is like made my memory even better. So praying that God takes care of that sooner. I won't even remember who I am when I wake up in the morning. So anyway, we did why we a lot. I know that. It's been a couple of months now. But anyway, today I want to just focus on why we love each other. Right? Because I think this is the big deal about Christianity. Is staying in love. Staying in a place of love. Staying in a place of connection. Staying in a place where we shine the glory of God to the world. Because the world today is a mess. Relationships today are a mess. Contracts mean nothing. We sign contracts. Like, I mean, every year we go to camp, we have the kids fill out a release form, right? To release us from liability. But I know that that form isn't worth the paper it's written on because, Pastor, I signed it under duress. If I didn't sign it, you weren't going to let me come to camp. And the lawyers will have fun with that, and it won't be worth nothing, right? Because contracts mean nothing anymore. People walk away from everything. People walk away from their marriages, which to me is hard to understand in a lot of ways. But people, even harder to understand, walk away from their kids. You know, like people walk away from their flesh and blood, won't talk to them, won't communicate with them, won't deal with them, won't love them. And God's called us all together here, and we're from so many different walks of life. We're from all over the province at one time, and we're all from all different like fields of work and different things. And God has called us together here to be a family, to be His bride together, to love each other. Like, there's not a lot of things that connect us except that we have faith in Jesus, right? Like, we're all different in a lot of ways. And God has called us together to live in this culture in love with each other, in love with Him as His bride. If we'll do that, we'll stand out like a diamond on a black sheet, on a black cloth, you know, like it'll just be brilliant. And God's called us to that. And if there's anything we need to get right as a church, it's that. We need to love each other. You need to come here and you need to feel the love of your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we need to be able to do. So we, though, so many times have been offended and have been hurt and have been put out. And I've been there. I've done that. I've had someone say things to me that are hurtful and you know, and I want to push back. I want to push back from the relationship and say, I don't want to be in this relationship. You're mean. You're nasty. You're not nice to me. But God, in the middle of this crazy world, this crazy culture, God has called us as His church to love each other, to care about each other. Period. No question marks. No. You know, clauses in the contract to love each other purely and simply to the point where we're not only that we love each other because we have a reason to love each other, but to love each other even when there's lots of reason not to love each other. Not conditional love, although as humans it's really hard not to live in conditional love, but to love each other unconditionally. To say, I'm going to love God and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to love my brothers and sisters in Jesus, whether they're nice or not. Whether they paid me back the money they owe me or not. Whether they were nice to me on Sunday morning. Whether they were rude to me on Sunday morning. Whether they were like ignoring me when I needed somebody. I'm going to love them. This is what the Bible says. In John 15, verse 12, it says, love each other as I have loved you. This is what I am commanding you to do. Another verse says, this is the command that you've heard from the beginning. Where's the beginning? God said, and there was, right? That was Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That was in the beginning. What we've heard from the beginning is we must love each other. That's the command, as I have loved you. So not love each other like I do as a human being, or I do as a failure, not a failure, but like just a human, like not perfect like God. But he said, I command you to love each other as I have loved you. Like, that's what his command is. In Romans 13, verse 8, it says, let love be your only debt. If you love others, you've done all that the law demands. That's huge, you know. Like, it's not, sometimes we can get so caught up in life and struggles and like we get, you know, like we'll get working on one area, right? Like I'm, you know, Dave Ramsey, I got to get my money straight, and we get working over here, but then we get all nasty with people because like, I got to save money, leave me alone, I don't want to go out with you, I don't want to talk to you, just leave me alone, I got to save money, I got to figure this out. And then we get that straightened out, and then we get into like getting our marriage better, and now we're getting our marriage better, and they say go on a date night, and Dave Ramsey goes down the toilet, and then, you know, like all this stuff goes on, and we're just focusing everywhere, and we lose track of where we're supposed to focus. But the focus from the beginning has been to love as I have loved you. Right? That's the focus. Because he said, if you do that, you've done all that the law demands. All that God wants from us is to love each other as he has loved us. So focus. Be focused, right? Paul said, you know, like, I keep my eyes on the prize. I keep my eyes on it. Keep focused on it. Paul said, this one thing I do. I press on toward the mark. Well, what's the mark? To love each other. I believe that. I believe that so much. I believe if we do that, we could change the world. Right? I believe that. Martin Luther King, remember when he gave his big speech, you know, like, I have a dream. That was what his speech was really about. It was about loving each other. Change the culture of a nation to the point today where the people were their slaves, right? The African-American people were their slaves, where today there's an African-American that is their president. Right? This dream of loving each other changes the world. Like, it used to be that if you went to church, you wouldn't see cultures mixed together in church. I mean, even in the white group of cultures, there was like, you know, like, well, I'm German, or I'm Dutch, or I'm like, you know, whatever. And they even segregated, right? Because they thought they were better. I mean, wars have been fought, right? World War II was all about one race being better than the rest. But in the middle of that, God was calling us to love each other, and it would change the world, and it will. And it's not a sappy kind of like creepy love. It's a love that will care for you when you need care. It's a love that will confront you when you need to be confronted. It's a love that will write a check for you when you need a check. It's a love that will take care of you in the middle of your struggle. It's a love that will come visit you when you're in the hospital or even in prison. It's that kind of love. And that's the love God's called us to. That's the grace of God. He's given us to do that so we can love each other. He's given us his grace. So the first reason we love is because God commanded us to love each other. Right? And in our culture, again, like commanding someone to do anything is like unheard of. It's bad. Like, you can't tell your kids to go to church. You can't tell your kids what to go, when to go to bed. You can't just barge into your kid's room whenever you want. What do you think this is? You have rights. We gave our rights to God. When we made Jesus the Lord of our life, we gave it all to Him. We laid down everything that we were, everything that we had, and we said, "You are Lord." It was really significant in the time of the early church when they said, you know, Jesus is Lord, because as people that lived in the Roman Empire, they would greet each other with this greeting, "Caesar is Lord." What it meant was, Caesar, he owns everything from your car to your underwear drawer. He owns it all. He's got it all. And they just kept reminding each other that Caesar was Lord. So for the Christian church to say, "Jesus is Lord," they were like taking their life in their hands, but they understood what that meant. I think when we say that word, a lot of times we just think it's a nice word in the song. Oh yeah, you're Lord. But we don't understand lordship. And when God commands us to love each other, that command should be enough. That command should be enough. Like when you're fighting with your wife, or when you're fighting with your husband and you're mad and you're upset and you're like, you know, I don't know if anybody else gets like that. But the command is to love each other. Stop, listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and love each other. It's command, and it's God's command, and everything that God commands us to do is not for our hurt. It's for our good. So when God commands us to love each other, it's not because He wants to torture us and make us live with people we don't even like, right? He's trying to teach us that commitment will get the job done. He's trying to teach us that if we hang in there long enough, it could turn around. He's trying to teach us that there's so much value and so much reciprocity. Like, it comes back to you. When you love others, it comes back to you. Like, I got in that accident this week, and the guy took me, and I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, but the guy took me for a goof. Like, I mean, I felt like an idiot when I was done. I felt so stupid because I got taken, right? And I felt like, what a loser you are. I'm like talking to myself in my van. I'm going, "Ralph, you are a dummy. You are so stupid. I can't believe you did that. You should know better than that." You know, and I'm going on and on and on, but, you know, I come here this morning and I get loved even though I am a little dumb. You know, God's good. But there's this whole thing. We love each other because God commanded us. You know, and there's, when you stick at it, when you stay with it, you know, like, God turns it back to you, and you just get it back over and over and over again. And if you don't get it in this life, you'll get it in the life to come. Even if you don't get paid off in this short amount of time that we live in this planet, you're going to get paid off. No one is God's debtor. God is no one's debtor, right? If you love, if you do what He commands, He's going to pay you back. He's going to double it and triple it in your life. So in 2 John 1, verse 5 to 6, is talking about love and the command of love. It says, "And so I ask you, dear lady," I was laughing because I was watching Everybody Loves Raymond the other day, and I was just, this verse when I read it just made me laugh because I'm thinking, See, Deb, it says lady. It must be because ladies are harder to get through to than men. So, like, anyway, I was having a big laugh when I was reading it. I just hear Raymond with his sinuses all plugged. Anyway, so I had fun. Let us all love one another. There is no new command I'm writing you. It is a command which we have had from the beginning. This love I speak of means that we must live in obedience to God's command. The command, as you have all heard from the beginning, is that you must all live in love. Love, 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 right? Keeps us together, right? It's a whole deal, right? All through. If you read, especially the Johns, right? John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. John and his three sons. It's all the same guy. But it's just always talking about, this is the command, 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 this. You know why it says it so much? Because he wants us to understand this is the command. Love one another. It's repetitive. The Bible is very repetitive in that, especially in that issue. If you read in one group, a small group of scripture that some gets repeated once, pay attention. If it repeats itself over and over and over again, really pay attention. It's really, really important. The command is to love each other. We're commanded. These are two of the verses I picked, but seriously, read John. Read 1 John, read 2 John, read 3 John. There's a 3 John, right? Yeah, 3 John. read them and you'll find out. And it just goes on and on. The whole Bible is full of this. Full of it. There are we need to do as God asks us to do because we love Him and because we trust Him. Right? Because sometimes we're trying to love people and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Like, sometimes people are just nasty. Sometimes people are just ignorant. Sometimes people are just so bad. And God has called us to love them. And I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about the church. This is who God's talking about. There's times where people just are just not nice. And even though that's the case, love them. In 1 John 4, verse 19 and 20, it says, "We love God. We love because God loved us first. Whoever says, 'I love God,' but hates another believer is a liar. People who don't love other believers whom they have seen can't love God whom they have not seen. Christ has given us this commandment. The person who loves God must also love other believers." This is a principle. This is a principle. If you want to love God, you have to love His bride. Look, we live in a movement. There's been this big movement over the last 10 years about, you know, the church is not church, and we hate church, but we love God, and all this kind of stuff. Well, you can't love God and not love His bride. You can't love me and say I hate Christine. You can't do that because I don't like you if you do that. I got to love you, but I don't like you. Right? If you don't love my wife, you don't love me. And it's the same thing. You know, if we don't love each other, we can't love God. It's easy to say, "I love you," when you don't see someone. My grandfather used to have this saying, "I'd love that person a lot better if they lived in Australia." And this was the time when it took a letter about 3 months to get there and return another 3 months. And if you wanted to make a phone call to Australia, you'd have to mortgage your house to do it because it costs like $300 or something. It's like $5 a minute or stuff. You guys think $5 a month for texting plan is a bad deal. But there's this, like, you know, it's like there's this whole command, though, to love those that we can see. Right? And really, the only way we can have a relationship with someone is if we can communicate with them. And they can communicate back with us. And anybody that's done that for any length of time with any particular person realizes it's not always easy. That everybody has their thing. And that thing, especially the thing you found that was so cute when you were dating, is the thing that you find the most annoying once you're married. And after you've been married 10 years, it gets really annoying, and 20. So my wife is really annoyed because I was really cute when we were dating. anyway, but like, we need to stay in there, though, and love each other. We need to do it because it's the command. We need to love people that are nearby us. We prove love when we can love the people that are right by us. You know, like, it's hard to love people. I understand that. It's hard to have that feeling all the time. But that isn't what love is. My dad always used to tell me, love's a decision. It's a decision you make. Like is a feeling. I like you because you make me feel good. I like you because I like being around you. But I love you because I decide to love you. I love you because it's the commitment I make. It's what I write down. It's my contract with you. It's my covenant. And I promise I will love you. And I'm going to love you till death do us part. And that doesn't mean I'll love you unless you don't make me happy, or I love you unless you do this or that. But it means I love you, period. The only way to love someone truly is to have a relationship with them and to communicate with them regularly. We love each other, number two, because it's good for us. It's good. There's one thing that's missing in our culture, it's commitment. It's I've already said, you know, like the whole idea about contracts means nothing. We don't commit a lot of times in relationship. We commit to good times, right? We commit when it's good. We commit even when it's bad, but the bad doesn't affect us, right? Like if somebody goes through a struggle or a hard time and it really doesn't affect us, well, then we can love people because we could bring them a meal, we could say hi, we could write them a nice card. But when the bad affects us, it's hard for us to still stay in that place of commitment in relationship. And God's called us to be committed, right? God was committed, right? He created mankind. We blew up the planet for Him. He committed He was loving us, so He sent His Son, who the Bible said was already slain before the foundations of the world were laid. He committed to carry through on it, even when His Son knelt in the garden and said, "Father, if there's any other way, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me." He committed, He carried it through. Jesus, you know, on the cross said, "Into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit." He committed to us, rose from the grave, walked among us for 30 days, and then rose to heaven, promised He'd send us His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, committed to it. Holy Spirit is here today among us. He's committed to us, and He wants us to be committed. Because it's good for us. Like, there's some relationships I've been in that have been really hard at times. But some of those ones that were really hard at times that I stuck with and I stayed in, those are the best relationships in my life right now. Those are my closest friends. Those are my dearest, most loved people. Because it was hard. We went through hard times. We went through struggles. We stayed committed. We stayed in there. And we carried it through. And we're better. Now, I admit that relationships are a moving target. They're a moving target. The person I married in Christine is not the same person today that she was when I married her. And I'm not the same person I was when she married me. And I'm going to prove this just with a little point. Everybody we meet and everything new that we do affects us. It changes us. Yeah. This week, I'm driving down the road Wednesday afternoon, 3:00. It's my day to study. I'm enjoying my study day. What I do is I write out a bunch of notes and I start putting all my thoughts together and I get everything, and then by, you know, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock, I'm starting to feel a little bit cabin fever, so I get in my car, go run an errand. So I'm running an errand. I'm going to Welland to Walmart to go get something. And I pull up at a light on River Road, and the guy behind me doesn't stop. So he hits me going around 60 kilometers an hour. I fly forward, stop. He comes out of the car. He says, he doesn't say Ralph because he don't know me. Wish I knew him. Anyway, he hits me. He says, "Why'd you stop?" "Well, the light was red, buddy." "Well, it was yellow." I said, "Well, let's call the police and they could sort it out, right? Because even if it was a yellow light, you hit me, I didn't hit you." So anyway, we pull up, we go to Canadian Tire parking lot. The guy's like really, you know, repentant. He's like, "I'm sorry, I'm really bad. I'm a body man. I have my own body shop. Well, my dad owns a body shop and I work for him. So I'm going to take your van there. I'm going to put all new parts on. I'm going to make that thing look like new. And I'm going to take care of you for sure. I'm really, really sorry this happened. So can we just not get the police involved?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I know what it's like, you know, insurance. As soon as you make a claim, your insurance goes up if you get charged with following too close. And everybody has a bad moment, right?" So I'm like a big kind of suck, and I'm feeling bad for the guy, and I'm like taking it all in. And I'm like, "Well, you know, even make it better for you, man. Like, my van's an old van. Just go to the wrecking yard, buy the body parts, buy them the same color. You don't even have to paint them. Just put them on, right?" No, I did it. I wrecked your van. I'm going to fix it. It's going to be like new. I'm going to use all new parts. It's going to be great. Just bring it to my body shop 10 o'clock on Friday morning. Here's the number of the shop. Here's my name. Okay, the truck belongs. You know, it's a truck that belongs to the company, so I don't know the license plate." So he looks over. He writes the license plate number down. Then he gives me the paper. And he goes, "Oh, no. Just in case you want to get a hold of me, here's my home number." So he writes that down. And I'm like, "Well, this is a nice guy." I drive away, expecting I'll go there on Friday morning, bring it to the shop, and And like I get there, I get out of Walmart getting what I was going to get. I thought, well, I should give this guy a call. So I call his home number, which he took the paper back from me to, like, you know, write down his home number, and I reach the March of Dimes in Welland, and I realize, been taken, right? So here's the deal. So I want to break this down because I want you to understand this. I want you to understand you need to really control how much you allow things to change, but also realize that there is change going on in your relationships all the time, right? So like this guy, when I realized I'd been duped, I felt really stupid. Like I said, I'm talking to myself, Ralph, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're dumb. I'm never going to trust anybody again. If someone so much as rubs against the side of my car, I'm calling the police because no one can be trusted. And like this whole thought process is going on. And it's building walls. I can feel myself building all these walls around me. You know, and then I'm like, well, now instead of being able to do and finish my messages, my meetings and stuff on Wednesday, I'm tied up at the police station till 8 o'clock at night trying to make reports and do everything, and I get home and I'm exhausted, I'm sore, I'm tired, so I got no work done. I go to the office the next day, I'm grumpy, I'm feel rushed, I'm locking my door, people are standing looking through the glass at me, and I'm like, you know, and it's not me, right? So I'm being grumpy, I'm ticking people off. Got a sore back, so I'm a little bit, you know, miserable around the house, and a little bit, you know, like, so everything around me, everybody around me, the way I think about things, the way I'm dealing with people is not me because I was changed. And I had to come to a point where I said, I can't be this different. I'm going to be dumb again if I have to be because I am a trusting person. I trust people. I will trust people. I will love people. That's what God's called me to do. It's who He made me. I'm going to keep going there. And I'll tell you, it's been the battle all week this week to keep trusting and keep loving and keep, you know, and like, you guys helped this morning. It was great. That was awesome. That really ministered to me. And then I'm like in the police station. I'm filing this report. And I'm going, I'm such an idiot. And the cop goes to me, Ralph, I don't know you very well. He said, but I don't meet a lot of guys that are as trusting and caring as for people as you are. Don't ever stop. And I'm like, wow, God? Because I said, God, after that. I said, God, thank you. Because I know I'm battling this thing, right? And then I got to make sure that I don't get grumpy around people because I'm in pain, or I can't, like, so, like, do you understand? Like, that had the ability to change me, and it could become a defining moment in my life. But instead, I'm processing with God's help to make it a bleep on the radar screen of life. So it's just something that happened, right? It doesn't have to be. But we need to understand that things change all the time. So when your spouse comes home and they're like different and they're struggling with something, understand, you don't know what they've been through that day. You don't know the struggle. You don't know what's happened. They might be processing through some of the things that have happened and trying to deal with it and trying to bring life back to center. Like this is pretty, you know, like it's a bit of a, you know, it doesn't happen like that every day. But things happen to change us, and we need to realize that happens, but we still need to love each other, right? And if we do that, then we're going to have great life, great relationships, we're going to have great support around us, and God's going to do something great through it, because if we obey His commandments, God's going to do amazing things in our life. So, somewhere in here going on, I just have some scriptures. I have loved you, in John 15, verse 9 to 12. I have loved you the same way the Father has loved me. So live in my love. Right? Live in the love of God. Allow His love to take you. Because when you feel loved, it's easier to love others. Like, when's the last time you really stopped and thought about the work of the cross? What Jesus did there. How His life screamed love to you. And just thought about the love that took. The love of the Father to send His Son. The love of the Son to die. The love of the Holy Spirit to commit Himself to live on this planet with all this mess and all this sin for the last 2,000 years. To be among us, right? How many times have you thought about that? Because if you start thinking about that, the Bible says, to whom much is forgiven, you know, much is required. But when you've been forgiven much, you love much. Right? So when we realize the love of the Father for us, then we can continue in His love. Live in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will live in my love. I have obeyed my Father's commandments, and in that way, I live in His love. I have told you this, to live in my commandments, right? To live in my love, to obey my commandments, so that you will be as joyful as I am, and so your joy will be complete. The only way we're going to have complete joy is if we live in love. The only way we're going to really just feel content and happy in life is if we live in love with God. Love each other as I have loved you. This is what I'm commanding you to do. The greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends. Love each other. If you will, right, the reward is we're going to live in the joy of the Lord. And our joy will be full. We will have this river of living water that streams from the inside of us. It's all about staying in the love of God. It's good for us to stay in relationship. There's so much to be drawn from it. It's so much power and strength in it that we can't even fully understand. Proverbs 27:17, one of the advantages of being in love and staying in love is just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the minds of each other. In Proverbs 27:9, it says, the sweet smell of incense can make you feel good, but true friendship is better still. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend always loves and a brother is born to share in your trouble. Who needs that, right? To share, have someone to share in your trouble with you, to help you through your trouble, to carry part of the load. Well, that's what love will do for you. That's what you live in love. I love this is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. No version says it like the Message Bible, so I'm going to read this. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart and if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and let others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. To me, that speaks of our walk as Christians, as Christ followers. That's what our life is about. You know, like there's just so much scrambling in the world, and I think even a lot of times in the church, to be number one, to be the boss, to be the head honcho, to have influence, to have control. But the Bible teaches us so clearly, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to serve. If you want to be loved, you got to love. If you want to be cared for, you have to care for others. It's love, sowing, and reaping. And if we're going to live as Christians, we have to learn to get underneath others and help them, carry them. It's hard. It's tough. It's challenging. We're only going to live in this world of sin for so long, and then we're going to go on and be in heaven with Jesus. Right? And then we're going to be free completely from all of this. But in the meantime, if we'll carry each other, if we'll help each other, if we'll love each other, if we'll stick together, God will do great things through that. It'll make the load lighter. It'll make life better. It's challenge, right? Because it's always changing. It's always moving. It's always different. But if we'll stay committed to God and stay in His love, right? Live in His love, right? Live in that place, the same love that Christ had for the church, we're supposed to have for each other. Love that way. Love that way. So the third and final point is because we love each other because it was Jesus' final prayer, was that would be what we do. That we would actually love each other, and through that the world would see that Jesus was sent by His Father to the world. It overcomes every obstacle. The greatest obstacle we face as we deal with young people and young adults right now is the whole idea of atheism and agnostics. It's like we don't believe. We just don't believe. We don't believe. We wonder if there is a God. If there is, we don't know who He is. Or they believe nothing. And this verse, you know, what we're going to read in a minute, it really just says that it will overcome that. Because it'll, well, let me read it. It says this in John 17, verse 21 to 23. I want all of them to be one with each other, just as I am one with you and you are one with me. Again, God's not an evil trickster. He wouldn't ask us to do something we are not able to do. He will not ask us to do what we can't do. He will only ask us to do what we're able to do. So I also want them to be one with us. Then the people of this world will believe that you sent me. I have honored my followers in the same way that you have honored me, in order that they may be one with each other, just as we are one. I am one with them, and you are one with me, so that they may become completely one. Then this world's people will know that you sent me. They will know that you love my followers as much as you love me. So again, whenever something repeats itself a couple of times in Scripture, we need to pay attention. The deal was that if we would love each other, and if we would stay in this place of unity and oneness, that the world would know that the Father sent the Son. So what obstacles does that overcome? It overcomes the obstacle, number one, that there is a God. Right? Because if there's no Father, then how does the Father send the Son? When we love each other, it overcomes that obstacle. They could see it. They could see it, right? Like a diamond in the night. They could see it, the contrast between the world and the kingdom of God. And then it would say that they sent the Son. So they would understand that there was a reason for the Son to come, and that the Son is their hope and their redemption, right? So if we love each other, we would answer the prayer of Jesus, the prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross. And here's the thing is, you could say, well, some of you are doing a real good job at that. Cheers. Good. Happy for you. Good on you. Right? You go ahead. I'm going to watch. It don't work. We're all in this together. It's in the Scripture that we're all made one together in it. So if one don't succeed unless all of us succeed. This is what it says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. It went through the hall of faith, right? The whole deal of every hero in the Bible. All these people that were, you know, like tortured and walked in the desert and were homeless and were considered to be a martyr better than to live, because they knew what was coming in the future for them, that they were going to go on and be with Jesus. And it says this at the end of the chapter. What a record all of these have won by their faith. Yet they did not receive what God had promised, because God had decided on an even better plan for us. Right? Not necessarily better for them, but better for us. Right? His purpose was that only in company with us would they be made perfect. And then it goes on in chapter 12 to say, since we're surrounded by such a great host of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that's before us. Yeah. That's what God's called us to. Yeah. It's time to grow up. Time to be Christ followers for real. Time to lay aside our petty hurts and differences and complaints and just say, I'm going to love. It's what God commanded. It's what's good for me. It would answer the prayer of Jesus if I do it. Let's do it. Let's love each other. Let's be sincere in that. Lord, we just come to you and we thank you. Lord, that you've called us together as a church. Lord, in this building, Lord, we meet together. Lord, as a community church, Lord, you've called us together. Lord, as a provincial and a national and a church in the whole world, that you've called us together to love each other. Lord, help us to walk in your love. Lord, I pray that even as we get set to leave here this morning, that there be a greater revelation to us of your love for us, so that we could love others more deeply, that we could care for others more. I ask this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. I ask you, Lord, as we leave now, as we go, you know, to have some fellowship together, that the love of the Spirit would be among us, that this would be a great time of fellowship and building your body, so that we're prepared to go out and shine like the light in the darkness. Lord, we just ask you again. We just pray that your kingdom would come in this region, God, in Haldeman, in Lincoln, in Niagara. Lord, that your will would be done here. Lord, that it would be hard to get to hell from here. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys, all have a great day. God bless you. Love each other, right? Love each other.